too hard.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, brothers and gentlemen. Thank you so much. I... 2 years ago, when I had the privilege and honor of speaking at General Council, and it is an honor and it is a privilege, the Lord saw fit to, in His own wisdom, to bless me and help me and anoint me. When I started to pray in respect to the invitation that the brethren had so graciously extended in respect to this service tonight, I kind of feel like the Lord said, son, 10 years ago, I blessed you on credit. Tonight, you got to pay the piper. Pam, your song was beautiful. God bless your heart. Bruce raised a lovely lady there. Bless my heart so very, very much. Dino, I pray that the Lord will give you finger cramps at least twice a week. Every time I see him over television, I feel like getting a hammer. Give him a hand. Praise God. I've had the opportunity and privilege of preaching for some of these brethren that sit on this platform. And I love them dearly. They have been nothing but help and kindness and generosity to this evangelist. And if the Lord would see fit to give me ease in ministering tonight, I would have to say that Brother Zimmerman helped so very, very much last night. And thank you for that. Thank you so very much. And I want to thank you preachers, you pastors, and evangelists, and especially you pastors that have stood with us in our crusades all across the nation and around the world. You've helped us. You've prayed for us, even though in your multitudinous duties you had to leave things undone. You joined with us in efforts to propagate this great gospel of Jesus Christ. And about 2 years ago, the Lord, I feel, impressed me greatly to draw as close to the local church as was spiritually possible. From that moment, we have endeavored to do that because we believe the local church is the foundation of the great work of God on this earth. And I do not say that to self-serve. I say it because I believe it's true and I believe it's right. And I just want to thank you. We television or media preachers, possibly some of you may think that it's easy, it's glorious, it's glamorous, but I didn't ask for the job. And what the Lord has seen fit to do, it's His business. I make so many mistakes that I'm ashamed most of the time, but we're endeavoring to do the very best we can to take this gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. And I want to say to you, Jim Baker, God bless your heart. I thank God for PCL. Praise the Lord for it. Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Bless your heart. I love you. Praise the Lord. You want to know what pressure is? Join these two clubs. I walked up beside him and I saw some of the gray hair. I have very little gray hair, but I have a lot of fingernails that's in the quick. But I don't think either one of us would trade what God has given us for anything else. Our organization is doing everything within its power to propagate this great gospel of the Savior by missionary efforts all over the world. We feel like we have a mandate from the Holy Spirit to do so. To spread it by radio, by television, for the building of churches, Bible schools, printing of literature. And I've asked God to help me. And if Jesus carries, I believe we can see it, at least $10 million a year for world missions to take this gospel of the Master all over the entire world. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm reading tonight from the book of Exodus, chapter 27, 20th verse. God said, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olives beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always." 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, for there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." 1 Samuel 4, 10 and 11. "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. For there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." In preaching this gospel for so many years, I have come to the conclusion that the shorter the subject, the easier it is to remember. But I suppose I'll violate that and take my subject directly from the third verse, the entire verse, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Would you bow your head, please? Heavenly Father, as we stand here tonight, we do not ask but for one thing, and that is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It is not our place to set the church in order. It is not our place, O God, to correct. It is our place to simply be a channel through which the Spirit and the river of God may flow. God, help us tonight that there be no obstacles, there be no hindrances that would hinder the flow of that river. And anoint these that would sit and listen tonight, that they be strengthened, that they be blessed. For we depend not, O God, and ask not for the accolades of our esteemed brethren. We ask not for the plaudits of the crowd, but only for the move of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we'll ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. I had the occasion years ago of preaching camp meetings with one of the great men of God. I'll leave him nameless because I would not want to embarrass anyone. But he taught me much. What I know about expository preaching, he taught me. I do not know if one can be taught the anointing of the Holy Ghost, but if such a thing would remotely be possible. I caught a glimpse of the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit through his ministry. is old enough today almost to be my grandfather. He was asked to preach a particular service in one of our major cities. This was many years ago. So it will not hinder time, nor place, nor person. Great expense had been gone to, efforts were not spared. Tremendous auditorium was secured, thousands of people were expected and did come. An invitation had been extended to the mayor of one of America's largest cities, that particular city. He was there that night. Several of the board of aldermen were there, several VIPs from that locale. Just before service started, he was, my distinguished and esteemed friend was taken rather back of the platform. And this statement was made to him. We've got many important people in the audience tonight. People that are prestigious in this area. Now we want them to see the good side of Pentecost. And of course I didn't know there was any bad side to it. We would rather that things did not get out of hand. He looked at him with a twinkle in his eye and said, "Gentlemen, I'll do my best." He started preaching that night, and I have been in so many of his services, and then I would endeavor to minister at my time and years ago and would be embarrassed. And about two-thirds way through his intended message, he never finished it. I know that so many of you in this audience, you know what Holy Ghost explosion is. They had one. God, that's the time we need today. Holy Ghost explosion. And it exploded over that vast assemblage of several thousands of people. And all of a sudden, Holy Ghost pandemonium broke loose. And there is absolutely nothing in this world that's like it. You can't define it. You can't explain it. And it'll scare you spitless. But it's what made us. It's what built us. And people were slain under the power. Many were dancing in the spirit. There were several folk in that audience that night that thought God will ruin. They started walking back and forth at the platform at the back, rubbing their hands, saying, "We'll ruin. We'll never be able to hold our head up in this city again. We'll ruin." Way back in the crowd, the august mayor stood to his feet. His eyes were big. He looked at thousands of people with their hands in the air. Some were laying prone on their face on the floor. Others were dancing. The power of God was falling. Some were speaking in a language that was glorious. A roar, a crescendo of praise swept the place. Like Niagara Falls roaring. And this mayor made his way down that aisle, having to step across those that had been slain in the spirit. He dodged shouting and stepped aside as doctors spun next to him. He made his way to the platform. My esteemed friend did not know who he was, did not know it. The crowd paid no attention to him. It was one of those moments when the Holy Ghost becomes the master of the ceremony. And he had to shout above the noise of praise. And he grabbed my friend's hand. He said, "I'm the man." He couldn't hear him. He said, "What did you say?" He said, "I'm the man." He said, "We're glad to have you."
tears started in his eyes. He said, I'm a member of the First Methodist Church in town. And I haven't seen anything like this since I was a boy at home so many years ago. My old Methodist mother used to shout her hair down. My old Methodist mother used to dance in the spirit. And tonight I saw it again. Would you come to our church and hold us a revival? This world is tired of dead preachers preaching dead sermons to dead congregations. There is a hunger for the moving of the Holy Ghost today that will stir our lives, lift us up above the shadows, and plant our feet on high ground. Israel was in a sad state. Backsliding is ugly. It speaks of darkness. It kills, it steals, it destroys. Eli, the great high priest, had lost his way with God. His two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were committing acts of immorality right in the gateways of the temple. They were thieves. The nation staggered under the impact of it, and God grew angry. In the midst of all of this, Samuel the child began to touch and taste the sense of the anointing of the Spirit. The Bible tells us of the Philistines invading, of Israel as they shouted victory, but there was no victory, and 4,000 Israelites were slain. It was a strategic retreat. And the news went out, thrust the Ark of God into the battle. The Ark. The very mention of it causes your heart to palpitate. The Ark. Take that Ark and put it in the midst of the soldiers. And even though that Ark was a type of Jesus Christ, and a representation of the glory, it was not the glory, it was just a representation of it. The glory was gone. They thrust that ark into the battle with a great shout. That shout rolled upon the ears of the Philistines. Those Philistines trembled because the news reached their ears. They have put the ark in to the battle. But God was not with Israel. And when the din of battle subsided and the smoke cleared, there had been a horrible defeat. A messenger runs and stands before Eli, the great high priest, and he gives him three messages. He says that, first of all, 30,000 footmen have been slain of Israel. And secondly, he said, the Ark of God has been taken. For the first time in history, the Ark was in the hands of a full and rock and degradating standard. The Ark, even though he was in a backslidden condition, Eli's heart beat and palpitated. The ark that God had told Moses how to build it and make it, designed by God Almighty. This ark that knew God's might and power, and now it's in the hands of Philistines, of idol worshippers, of brigands, of haters of God, of despots, of murderers, of thieves. And it's too much, the Bible said, his heart trembled when they mentioned the Ark of God. He was a heavy man. He fell back and he broke his neck and he died. Thirdly, the third message was that his two sons had been slain in battle. Now this terrible state of detention of glory started when the lamp of God started to dim low. Backsliding does not start overnight. It's a terrible procession of degree that starts gradually and builds speed as it goes. And the lamp gradually dims low, for God had said that lamp was to burn forever. That lamp would never dim. It was a type of the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you this tonight, and you know it. I tell you nothing new. The strength of this Assemblies of God movement has always been and will always be the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. We are Holy Ghost people. We have always been Holy Ghost people. I make no apology for it. And I want to say something else. Maybe I'm a fanatic. Maybe I carry it too far. And if you've never seen a fanatic, just open your eyes wide and look at me. I believe unless the power of the Holy Ghost is in a movement, I don't care how big the denomination may be, it is by and large ineffective. I want to say that again. I don't care how religious, how churchy, how rich, how educated, how powerful, how cultured. Without the Holy Ghost, they are spiritually ineffective. It's our strength. It's our power. Now I have 3 points to this little simple message tonight. Many of these gentlemen up here know how to have 5 and 6. I've never gotten beyond 3. The dimming of the lamp of God, the extinguishing of this flame of fire, brings death to the world. Secondly, it means the glory of God leaves the church. And thirdly, the 2 sons of Eli being slain refers to our children dying when the lamp goes out. The extinguishing of the lamp of God Almighty brings death to the world. When Jesus stood one day and said, "You are the light of the world," it was more than just a trite saying. This world is bankrupt. This world is dying today, and their only hope, and Mr. Carter is finding this out, is not politics or politicians, but it is still Christians that know Jesus and know how to present the great gospel of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Not only the hope of the church, but it's the hope of the world. The world cannot see God unless they see it through me and you. They can't see Jesus unless they see him through me and you. They'll never know anything about Jesus until they see him through me and you. When Mahatma Gandhi graduated from one of the greatest universities in the world and stepped on the streets of London, England, a slight man, a man that was too sick the British Empire to its very core, the man that was to bring freedom to India from colonialism, he was to change the very coronation words of the king and the queen, because India was the pearl of Great Britain. And when Gandhi stepped out there hungry, his nation and his eyes and estimation in bondage, there was a spiritual hunger that festered in his soul. In the Republic of South Africa, Gandhi walked into a Christian church. And he sat there, not really wanting the multitudinous gods of India, not satisfied with Hinduism, reaching out and trying to find something that would slake the thirst in his soul. But Gandhi didn't find it. Gandhi sat in a cold, dead, liturgical religious service that had no life in it, because the life is the Holy Ghost. The building was beautiful. The ministers were educated, but there was no glory. He went time and again and finally stepped out and shook his head in the negative for Christianity. You know what has happened to India. What might have happened had Gandhi gone into a Holy Ghost-filled church and been saved by the power of Almighty God and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? India tonight may not be staggering in a quagmire of demonic bondage. But the world dies when the lamp of Almighty God dims low in our lives. There the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. I was sitting in my office some time ago. My secretary opened the door, endeavoring to introduce the gentleman that had come in. He dressed pastor. I'd never seen him in my life. He was impeccably dressed. You could see your face, and the shine on his shoes, and the crease in his trousers would touch the proverbial hot butter. He didn't walk in, he glided in. I mean, he hit that office running. He was shouting hallelujah. I didn't know who he was. I'd never seen him in my life. He threw his arms around me, began to dance all around me, saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I didn't know who he was. Never seen him before. He was shaking all over, and he said some nice things about our ministry. And he said, Brother Swaggart, I just had to come by and say to you this. You don't know me. But he said, 2 years ago, I was a dope addict on my way to hell. No, he said, I don't mean popping pills. He said, I mean I was on H, I was on the hard stuff. He said, I was down to nearly 100 pounds. My eyes, balls of fire, my hair falling out. I had collapsed every vein in my arm. I had collapsed the muscles in my stomach with needles. I was now shooting between my toes and shooting under my tongue. He said, Dennis Swaggart, I walked in church after church. And he said, hungry, thirsty, dying without God, knowing that I couldn't beat this monkey on my back. Knowing I was going to hell. He said I would listen to them preach. And I would hear so many of them give their book reports, but not the Bible. But groping and grasping, I would walk down those aisles and stand there while they said that which they wanted to say. I would walk outside, every nerve seeming full of shit. I want to tell you something tonight, neighbor. It takes more than pretty buildings, more than educated preachers, more than book reports to set the captive free. The demon powers of hell can only be set free by the mighty power of God Almighty. I say nothing new. You know that, but I stir your pure minds, bewilderment. He said, not knowing what to do or where to go, knowing I was dying. He said, I got in my old car one Sunday night and started driving over the streets of the city. He said, there was a boil of white heron on the seat beside me, almost here. And I was going to take that needle, fill it up, and ram it into my veins and OD and find the way. I don't want to see you breaking into houses trying to find something to sell to get a little more money. Breaking into automobiles, breaking into businesses, living in an agony of darkness because there is no pleasure in them. Once it runs its hated course. He said, I started to pray, didn't know how to pray, but I would lay my head on that steering wheel and the tears blinded my eyes and I would say, God, I'm going to kill myself. I've done all I know to do. I've gone to your station and I can't speak again. If you can help me, please, this is it. This is it. And all of a sudden he looks up and he sees it. It's not big, it's not pretty, it's not stately. But it's a sign hanging there by the side of a building on the side of the road that said, Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, and Jesus fills with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Let's not get so cultured that we forget that He does heal, that He does deliver from the bondage of darkness. He stops his car and walks in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He sat down there on the back, and it was about 40 or 50 there. It was about 11 o'clock at night, but they were still having service. I like that. I like that. Nobody was trying to get home to see a fifth run of I Love Lucy. Nobody was trying to get home to watch Gunsmoke. Thank God He wants to smoke when you have the fire. He sat down. One brother walked over to him and said, sir, what can we do for you? With trembling hand, he holds it up and said, I need help. Man, he said, I need help. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, I'm on drugs. I'm a dope addict. I'm going to hell and I can't quit. I've taken all the tears, but I can't stop. They didn't tremble. They didn't grab a phone and call the psychiatrist. They didn't ask who the psychiatrist is. But they smiled and said, you've come to the right place. Are you getting the message first? Are you listening to me? Come to the right place. I take you for not to serve this architectural design. Lady, you are not to be a fashion show on a Sunday morning. Our buildings are not to be something that's to glorify man. But we are to be soul-saving stations that will rescue the person and care for the dying. Hallelujah! Glory to God! I want to tell you this gospel will work. Come to the right place. There used to be a time they sent those kind to us. There used to be a time that they would say, you go to that church across the street. Nowadays, sometimes we're getting them and we don't know what to do with them. We don't know what to do with them. We're sending them to those fanatical charismatics. Ooh, that hurt, didn't it? You come to the right place. Come on up here. Come to the front. He went. And they started praying. Hallelujah to God. They started talking to Jesus. Who said to Jimmy Swaggart, when I got close to the front of that little old building, he said something with me. He said, I don't know what it was, but I had shot up enough drugs to kill 1,000 human beings, but I have never experienced anything like that in my life. It hit me. It hit me. And I'm talking about the same thing that hit you 50 years ago, 25 years ago. I'm still setting the captive free tonight. The power of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. He said, my knees buckled. And I went down. About midnight, I knew I had it. I was saved. Knew nothing about God, knew nothing about Jesus, but I was saved and knew it and knew it. My soul was distressed. Neath Jehovah's dread frown. Well, low in the pit, my sins dragged me down. But I cried to the Lord from the deep, miry clay, and He tenderly brought me out to the golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay, He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I want to tell you, I still get happy about being saved. I still get thrilled about being saved. I still get excited about being saved. I just get up sometimes at 2:00 in the morning, sit on the side of the bed and sit there and squall and say, devil, I'm saved. Saved. He said it washed over me. I knew I was free, I knew I was free, I knew I was free. But he said, wait a minute. They said, wait a minute. Don't get up. Need something else. He looked up at him and said, man, I got enough to last me for a million years. They said, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. Glory. He said, what is it? They said, you need the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. He said, Jimmy Swaggart, about 1:00 in the morning, I started to speak in a heavenly language. He said, it rolled through me. I've never experienced anything like it in all of my life. He said, about daylight, I walked outside that little old church by the side of the road there in Miami, Florida. And he said, I didn't get in my car. He said, I just walked the streets out and hallelujah, hallelujah. I've come from death to life. I've come from darkness to light. I've come from hell to heaven. He set me free. And then, brother, when he told me that, I got up and started with him. Glory to God. God's might and God's power is our only secret. And I want to tell you something, brother. I'm getting a little bit sick and tired of some things. Now just hold on a little bit. Sick of it. I'm getting sick and tired of high religious denominations meeting in conclave trying to decide whether they ought to ordain homosexuals to preach. Sick of it. Sick of it. God didn't make Adam and Adam. He made Adam and Eve. They are not gays, they are queers, and they are perverts. And if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell, mister. That may be blunt, but it's time somebody said it. I'm sick and tired of Hollywood performers that mouth the name of Jesus and perform in Las Vegas nightclubs on Saturday night and give their testimony in our churches on Sunday morning. I'm sick of it. Sick of it. I'm sick of preachers that don't know what sin is. They can't explain it anymore. They don't understand it. It's an abstract. I'm sick of it. Sick of it. And I want to tell you something else. Our preachers have gotten too pretty. Our churches have gotten too pretty. We're so afraid we're going to offend somebody. God give us a preacher that will preach the gospel and does not care who he offends. I'm sick and tired of churches that once had the glory of God Almighty, but nowadays they delegate it to some basement way back in the building where folk won't see it. Our churches have become too pretty. I'm not talking about architecture. We need more services where the world doesn't understand what's going on. They don't quite understand what's happening. As the power of Almighty God lifts men up above the shadows and plants their feet on high ground. Sick of it. Sick and tired of little Lord Fauntleroy Evangelist. Tiptoeing through the tulip, spiritual tiny tin. Lace on their shirt. And holding their arms. And they can't preach. They've got to sing because they might hurt their preaching voice. I mean, singing voice. I wonder what kind of underwear they have on. Think of it. 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 Proud of it. Pick a preacher telling us we got to sin a little bit every day. Pick a preacher saying they don't know whether Jesus is the very Son of God. Sick of it. Sick of those that saying that days of miracles are over. Sick of it saying it passed away yesterday and it may come tomorrow, but we ain't got it today. I'm sick of it. I'm here to tell you this gospel still sets the captive free, and it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When the lamp goes out, it kills the world. You may have not thought about that. 30,000 footmen died, a type of the world. They died. That poor boy had not stumbled into a church and people that believed in the power of God, he'd be dead. Secondly, you say more? Yeah, more. The extinguishing of the lamp of God caused the loss of the ark of God. Oh, the glory of God is our strength. Our strength. I love the assemblies of God. I'm a little bit different than most of you, some of you at least. I remember the first church service I was ever in. I was 4 years old. It was in a little tiny Assembly of God church. We didn't have Sunday school rooms. We had curtains on. You know what I'm talking about? We didn't have stained glass windows. Nobody thought over us what color they were going to be. Didn't have to have a board meeting to try to decide how much we'd pay for. Little small place, seat maybe 100 people, but my mama was saved there, my daddy was saved there, my grandpa was saved there, my grandfather was saved there, my whole family came to Jesus there. I was 4 years old the first time I went. Sister Barbara McLaughlin was my teacher, she's with Jesus now. They passed the offering plate, I didn't know, man, I thought they'd given it away. This thing is something else. 4 years old, I reached in to get a handful, and she caught me right there. I guess the Lord was even calling me to be an evangelist then. Jim, when I have to meet these bills, then they won't fuss about us asking for a few dollars, will they? Even then, I was trying to say, I wonder if that'll pay this week's television bill. Never stood behind a pulpit in a church, but said it was A.G. Maybe that's good, maybe that's bad, but that's the way it's been. There were some that tried to get me to go another direction 4 years ago, 5 years ago. But I'm so glad I didn't. I'm so glad I didn't. I love this movement. I love this august group of people. I don't want to sound negative tonight, but there are danger flags. You hear what I'm saying? This is not popular. Don't say anything negative. Well, just call it negative positive if you want to. But there are danger flags flying. Our church that God has blessed, more spiritual churches than ever before, but more dead ones than ever before.
People, money, and education. People, money, and education. We need all three desperately, but not at the expense of the glory. Not at the expense of the extinguishing of the lamp of God. One of the largest, maybe the largest, religious advertising agency in the world for Christianity, for Christendom, for gospel, stood in my office, the owner of it, the president, not long ago. He told me this, and he's a good man, I love him. But I believed he was wrong. He said, we can up your ratings. That means nothing to you, but it's a little bit imported in television. We can up your ratings, the Arbitron rating system. We know how to do it. If you'll just give us the hand, we can up them. We can get you more people. I said, how will you do it? He starts to name entertainer after entertainer that purports themselves to be saved, but they're still singing in the nightclubs. They're still performing in the worldly places of amusement. He said, if you'll put them on, it'll increase your ratings. I don't want to sound holier than thou, God forbid, but I've got sense enough to know one thing. Jimmy Swaggart's strength is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I said, brother, if I water it down and I use this, what you're talking about, I'll lose the anointing of the Spirit, and I would rather have the anointing of the Holy Ghost and five people and have 5 million and not have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. People, money. Money. We can't say too much because we'll lose money. Every time I preach and I'm staring into a television camera lens, Satan hits me. Be careful, you'll lose support. You preachers preach, some won't like it. What we say, we cannot offend anybody, and it becomes sugar-coated and spiritual pablum. Money, we don't like to talk about it, but money. We don't want folk praising God because there are an element in the church that doesn't like it, and we'll lose tithe. Money. He warned you tonight that you'd have no trouble knowing where I stood. Be a little more diplomatic, Jimmy Swaggart. I don't know how. I never read the book. Money. Money. We trim our sails to make certain that the money keeps coming in. And education. God places no premium on ignorance. And I say this, I can say it without rancor, without ill will, because I know nothing about our Bible schools. For all I know, they're hotbeds of the Holy Ghost. I know nothing of them. But this one thing I do know, if we die, it'll be because our Bible schools turn out preachers that no longer know the glory and the might and the power of the Holy Ghost. Education. Education. God knows we desire no ignorance nor absurdity of ludicrousness. No. One man sat at a table with me Sunday morning that was instrumental in financially saving one of the largest Methodist colleges in the world, universities. He said to me, Brother Swagger, our great Methodist church was not lost. And he's Methodist, was not lost because of its people putting their Bibles under their arms and going to church on Sunday morning. No, it was betrayed in our schools. It was torn to pieces within our schools. And men were turned out to preach that were not saved, that did not believe in the power of God. What are you saying, preacher? I say it even though some of you may leave and snicker at me. I say it because I believe God's told me to say it. God, help our preachers to place the emphasis not on education or degrees, but on the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost that'll fill their hearts and fill their lives. said, we lost it in our schools. I have a friend that's one of the greatest men of God that ever walked in shoe leather. Older than I am, built and pastored one of the great Assembly of God churches in this nation. One of the first men to start busing ministries years ago. Built it big, glorious, spirit-filled, full of the power of God. Back when our churches were not accustomed to having 1,000 coming. He began to grow. People started coming. He was no longer there with the little widow woman and the folk that dirtied their hands trying to put bread on the table, but professional people started to come. Engineers, doctors, lawyers, professional people. And he said there was one family in particular that were very prestigious in the community. He said, I fought the greatest battle I had ever fought. It hit me. I've got to trim my services. I've got to make it to where they will not be embarrassed. I've got to get it to the place that they will be more in tune with what we're doing. And he said one Sunday night they were worshiping God, and he looks up and they're standing at the door. Man and his lovely wife and children, dignified, prosperous, affluent, successful, educated, cultured, refined. He thought, God, I've got to change the order of the service. Let me see. First thing will go will be the songs. He set me free on the agenda. That had to go. Leaning on everlasting arms is on there. That's got to go too. I'll fly away. Strike it. What can we sing? I'll get one they'll like. He told the choir director, sing Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Now, there was an old lady in the church. I know her name, but I won't call it. I'll call her Sister Smith. She was one of those kind that don't know about the prestige. You know what I'm talking about? She didn't understand. She didn't care. Of course, she never missed service. She was there when that church was started 40 years ago. Gone to be with Jesus now. But she was sitting there. He thought, oh, God, it won't take anything for Sister Smith to get started. It just won't take anything for Sister Smith to get started. The ushers were ushering the folk down the aisle, and he thought, God, don't let them seat them by Sister Smith. Pray they'll take them across the building. But the ushers marched them right down the aisle, seated them two rows behind Sister Smith. Sister Smith sat there. The orchestra gave the intro and the choir starts to sing. Rock of Ages. Oh, I'm not speaking critically of the song. It's great, but just bear me out. Cleft for me. Let me hide myself in. He forgot. This was Sister Smith's favorite song. She had the oddest way of speaking in tongues. It was not the beautiful flow that our distinguished brother gave tonight, and most of you have. She had one way she spoke. She'd spoken that way for 40 years. Bop, 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 bop. Let the water and the blood. Bop, 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 bop. From the riven side which flows. Bop, 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 bop. Be of sin the double cure. Bop, 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 bop. And she stood to her feet and starts to dance in the spirit. He thought, oh God, we're ruined. She dances out in the aisle. Bop, 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 bop. But she didn't dance forward. She danced backwards. She danced backwards. And in the spirit, bop, bop, she danced down between the row of seats where that rich man was sitting. She danced all over his feet. Bop, 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 bop. And then sat down in his lap. Hollering, bop, 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 bop. Oh, but God works in such great ways. He doesn't work according to our ways. He's not interested in the culture of Emily Post. He could not care less. He knows how to touch the hearts of men. You hear me? God knows how to cross the Red Seas. He knows how to shovel the walls of Jericho's, and his ways are not our ways. He struggled through his sermon, thinking, God, they'll never come back. And I can understand how he feels. As a preacher of the gospel, I've said things, I've watched people leave, and I've thought, God, did I offend them? You know what I'm speaking of. If it's man, you'll wreck it. But if it's God, he knows what he's doing. He looked up and this family comes and the man stands before him. And my pastor friends, such a great man of God, was embarrassed, lowered his eyes. But to his surprise, that brother grabbed his hand and said, I've never enjoyed anything so much in my life. He looked at him and said, oh, I'm glad you enjoyed the sermon. He said, I didn't hear a thing you said. I don't know what you preached. He said, well, what was it that you enjoyed? He said, it was when that little lady came back sounding like a motorboat going bop, bop, did a bop, 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 and sat down in my lap. Something went all over me and stirred my heart. That man is saved today and filled with the Holy Ghost and in that church. You don't learn that in school. You don't learn that anywhere else. I know some say I don't want that. Well, I do. That's what I want. That's what I cry for. That the lamp of God would burn, 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 burn. We are Holy Ghost people. He said they're finally accepting us. No, they're not. And they never will. They are opposed to everything we stand for. I know. But bless God, I'm not going to trim it to please them. Somebody said you'll cool off. I've got news for you. I'm heating up. Number three. The extinguishing of the lamp brings death to our children. The sons of Eli were slain in battle. I pick up, I guess, every periodical across the country crosses my desk one time or the other. And don't misunderstand me. Thank God for all the activities for our kids. We're boasting of our ball teams and our clubs and our activities. There's nothing wrong with that. But that won't save the kids. That won't save them from hell and dope and bondage and drugs and demon powers of darkness. It won't save them. There must be an experience in their lives We don't live on experience, but that experience must be there. We don't live on feelings, but when you get the glory, the feelings will be there. There must be a Holy Ghost experience in our life. I want to say this briefly. I thank God for all the help that anyone gives in whatever realm that it is in God. I do not stand here minimizing the significance of any type of ministry. But we've got Pentecostal people today that are worrying doctors to death. Run into psychologists and psychiatrists. We're thinking this will help them, this will help them, this will help them, when all you really need is an old-fashioned Holy Ghost explosion in your soul, and it will change your life totally and completely. That's old-fashioned. It won't work. It'll work. Try it sometimes. In one of our great cities, teeming with masses, a prostitute, streetwalker, dirty, the off-scouring of society, stumbles in a Stygian night of spiritual darkness. For when you sell your body, you're down to the dredges. You're gone to the pits. She stumbles up some steps and walks into an apartment. Her friend is there. Friend's name is Sally. I'll call this one Mary. She walks in and tells Sally, I want a drink. You wonder why the world is drinking itself to death. They've got to have something to dull the pain. She says, I want a drink. Sally says, I don't have anything to drink. She said, last night you had two-fifths of wine. I saw it here. You didn't drink it all? No, I hadn't touched it. Well, I want some of that. I don't have any of it. Well, what did you do with it? I poured it down a drain. Sally was a prostitute also. You poured it down a drain. She looked at her for the first time, and her face was aglow. Her eyes were wide open, and there seemed to be an ecstasy about her. She said, you're on some drug, aren't you? She said, no, I'm not. Well, what happened to you? She said, last night I went to the oddest, strangest church. You went to church? I went to church. She said, a lady had been bothering me for months, and just to get rid of her, I said, I'll go, and I went, and I've never seen anything like it. It was an Assembly of God church, thank God. She said, last night I got saved. She said, you got what? She said, I got saved. I've been so happy all night long. She said, I feel so clean. For the first time in years, I feel clean. Clean, clean. That girl looked at her with wide open eyes. She said, I want it. I want it. I want it. She said, I'm so dirty. I'm so sick of the filth and the rot and the stench and the stink and the degradation and the hell. I'm sick of it. I want it. Tell me how to get it. Sally says, well, I don't know. I don't know what to say. It came so suddenly last night, and there were so many people there, but I don't. She said, but wait a minute. She said, I've been reading my Bible. She had a little old cheap Bible. Said, I've been reading it all night, and I read over there that Jesus said you pray. And when you enter into your closet, pray. Mary said, I want a closet. Where's the closet? We laugh, but a poor, sin-benighted soul staggering in the Stygian night of hell's darkness, groping for light. Where's the closet? Sally said, it's right here, but it's got a lot of junk in it. We'll get it out. They dragged the stuff out, and Mary walked in. She said, well, what'd I say? We smile, but the world doesn't know. They do not know. They do not know. What do I say? She said, I don't know what you say. I don't know. Wait a minute, she said. Last night, said, I heard a lady shouting, she's seen the light, she's seen the light. So just stay there till you see the light. She closed the door. Closed the door. Knelt and stumbling, halting, she started to pray. 10-15 minutes later, the door opens and a man walks in. He sees Sally there. He says, where's Mary? I've got a date with her. Where's Mary? Mary here? Yeah. Where's Mary? She in the kitchen? He walked in the kitchen. Of course, Mary wasn't there. She in the bedroom? He walked in the bedroom. Mary was. Where's Mary? She didn't want to tell him Mary's in the closet. Where's Mary? But about that time, Mary saw the light. Mary saw the light. Came out of that closet. He thought she was on drugs. I want some of them. She said, it's not drugs, it's not liquor, but I've just found Jesus as my Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, tell me about it. I'd like to have it too. She said, all right, it's not proper for you to be in here with us. Let's go outside. We'll sit on the park bench. They went outside and sat on the park bench. I'm telling you something that happened. She told him about Jesus and he got saved. And that night all three of them went to that same church and Jesus filled them with the Holy Ghost. And tonight they're in a Bible school studying for the ministry. The lamp of God has been passed to this generation to burn and flame. It must not dim. It cannot dim. And by God's help and grace, I do not believe it will dim. Would you bow your heads, please? Precious Jesus. Precious Lamb of God. Oh God. With thy spirit, with thy love, with thy grace, move tonight, oh God. Move in this place. We are unworthy of thy blessings and thy grace and thy glory, but through thy Son, Jesus Christ, thou hast given us of that which we so desperately need. God, I pray the lamp would burn, would burn, would burn. Oh, God, let it burn. Let it burn tonight in every preacher's heart, every pastor's heart, every evangelist's heart. Let it burn. Let it burn in the hearts of those that listen to us minister. It must burn, or else the world dies without God, and the church dies, and our children die. Would you stand to your feet, please, everyone? Would you stand? Would you just lift your hands toward heaven and ask the power of the Holy Spirit to flow within your heart and flow within your life? Mandaro ko le bibishe. Praise the Lamb. Praise the name of Jesus. Halakorabo shekaraba sandarobobatandai. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh God, move tonight. My Lord, speak to the hearts of every person, every individual, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Let the lamp of God not go out. Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Oh, my Lord Jesus, move in thy great ways. Move upon the hearts and the lives of these people. in the name of Jesus, that we may leave this service and this general council on fire for Thee, that we never dim or this lamp never be extinguished. Just worship Him. Let His Spirit flow in your heart. Let Him refill you with the Holy Ghost. Let Him burn within your soul. Let Him burn within your heart. Let Him burn within your life. Let Him burn within the very depths of your spirit. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Manda so kole bishe torabasi tandalababatandai. Just keep worshiping Him, keep praising Him, keep adoring Him, keep thanking Him. Glory be to the Lamb, glory be to the Lamb, glory be to the Lamb. Hallelujah to God. Hallelakuri bishe kalababatandai. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to the Lamb. Hallelujah.